special. I like that song, and appreciate our brother singing it for us this morning. It is good to see you. Appreciate you being here, and I hope that when you leave, you'll be glad that you came. It looks like that we're up just a fraction over last Sunday, and that's better than going the other way. Let me encourage you to do this one thing before next Lord's Day. Find one person to invite to church. If you have to go by and pick them up, offer to do that. But find one person that you can invite to church. They won't all come, but there might be one or two that will. And then start over and you can invite another person. The way that you build a church is to go. Jesus put the emphasis on go in the Bible. And so for next Sunday, go. Do what he said to do. And then if you don't have any results, that's not your fault. That's his category. When you go and you invite folks, it's up to them and their God then what they do. But you've done your part. So I hope that you'll get your eye on someone that needs to be in the Lord's house and that you'll go after them. These pews, you pay good money for those. And you didn't pay the good money just to see them be a decoration. They're pretty. But you paid them to be used. You paid for them to be used. And let's see if we can't. I know there's enough people in Cahoma that the house could be filled if we could just get them here. Well, I have found it to be true that when we do our part, the Lord Jesus will bless it. And great things will happen. And so let me just encourage you to do that. That's sermon number one. It's free. But I just wanted to mention that to you. Turn, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter number 6. Job, chapter number 6. And before we look at the Word of God this morning, let's look to him in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for every one of these precious folks who are here. I know that for the most part, they know you as Lord and Savior. But I know also that when you get a group like this, you got some folks who are having problems and who are struggling with life. And I pray that you'll bless us this morning. We can't produce a blessing, but you can. And we ask you to do so, please. Father, give me the words to say, and may I not disappoint you in the preaching of this message. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I haven't seen the paper. Did Cahoma win their football game? They didn't play. Well, that's a highlight for Big Spring when they don't play. They played this last week. I say they played this last week. They were there. They were watching the game. They were impressed with the other team. I think it was 62-0 that they got beat. So I was hoping to come out here and you tell me that Cahoma won, and that'd make me feel better because I hadn't pulled for a winning team in a long time. We'll get to see one today on television, get to see part of one when the Cowboys play. And I'm looking forward to this game. My son, I do not know how it happened, but my son is a diehard Green Bay Packer fan. He hasn't even been in Green Bay. He doesn't know anything about it, but he pulls for them. And If they win today, I'll have a phone call sometime tonight, and he'll rub it in. If the Cowboys win, I won't hear anything from him until the next time he needs some money. And that's how it works with kids, isn't it? I imagine that you folks know the story of Job as well as I do. One of the more familiar stories in the Bible. Job was the richest man in all of the East. He was also the best Christian that God had on earth at that time. And that's saying a lot. But he was also the best Christian that the Lord had. But he had some trouble. Everybody's going to have that. He had some trouble, and when his troubles came, he began to wobble just a little bit. And when that happened, his faith suffered. What happened was that the devil had come to God, and he said, "The only reason Job is serving you and doing what he's doing is because you've been good to him. You've blessed him. He wouldn't be such a good man if you quit blessing, if you took some of the blessings away. If you'd make life hard for him, he wouldn't be quite as zealous for you as what he has been." Now, where do you think the devil got that idea? That if God would just quit being good to Job, then Job would fall by the wayside. Where do you get that idea? From watching the other Christians of his day. He saw Christians that they started out like a house of fire, and things were going great, but then they hit a bump or two in the road. They began to get discouraged, and before long we were looking around saying, "Where's so-and-so?" And they're not there anymore. The devil learned that Christians are like that. He learned that if you can defeat a Christian, you can get that Christian to quit. And so that's why he told God what he did. I think that he got the idea from watching how Christians lived around him. So God said, "All right, I'm going to let you take Job's money. I'm going to let you take his possessions. I'm going to let you touch his family." And then God allowed Job's health to be taken away. This is a pretty severe time in Job's life. Would be in anyone's life. So the ball began to roll. God's word began to come to pass. Job came down with some kind of skin disease. He was so miserable and uncomfortable that he took a piece of metal that was called a potsherd, and he scraped the sores on his body, hoping that doing that would give him a little bit of relief. He was such a pathetic sight that his wife told him, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" Joanne has not gone that far with me yet, but I've expected it a time or two. "Job, why don't you just curse God and let him take you on out of this world and find you a little bit of relief?" And then some men who were Job's best friends, they came to him, but they didn't bring any encouragement with them. They told him, "Job, the reason that you're suffering is because you sinned against God." Job, just like you and me, Job was a sinner. But his life overall had been a life of serving the Lord. He hadn't lived in defiance of God. I think you know how much it hurts to be accused of something you didn't do. That hurts, doesn't it? That's happened a time or two in the ministry. Well, it hurt Job for the friends that he had to question him and to accuse him of being the cause of all these troubles. With that in mind, Job made the statement that we find in chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" And then this is the phrase I want you to notice. "Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" This is an interesting comparison that Job made to his life. He said that his life was like the white of an egg at that point in time. I don't have a big appetite for eggs. Don't have a little one for that matter. But I do know that the taste of an egg comes from the yellow part and not the white part. Did you know that without the yellow, all you have left is that white, flabby, tasteless substance? That's all you got. You can put a little salt and pepper on it and make it taste good, but that's all you've got if you take the yellow away. Did you know that the yellow of an egg, and aren't you glad you came to church this morning, because you probably wouldn't have got this on television. The yellow of an egg is 49% water, 17% protein, and 32% fat. That's the yellow of an egg. The white of an egg, on the other hand, is 87% water and 12% protein. That's why there's not much taste to it. There's just not much to it. About all it is a white, rubbery substance. There is no taste in the white of an egg. And Job said, why did he say something like that? Job said, that's the way my life has become. There's no taste, there's no flavor in it. It's not enjoyable anymore. Something is missing. I don't know what to do. I imagine that a number of folks in this congregation could give a similar testimony as that. Maybe you haven't been through the same kind of trials that Job had been through, but you've been through your share of trials, and your life has been hit hard by something that's happened. And you haven't suffered the same way that Job did, but you suffered. Your life is every bit, it seems to you, every bit as tasteless and unenjoyable as what Job says his was. You get up in the morning, you go to work. You come home after work, you watch a little television, and then you go to bed. If you got a really good wife, you come in after work and eat supper. Mine has gotten in the habit of telling me after I've eaten lunch, well, that's it. Tonight you're on your own. And so supper is a bygone thing in our home. But anyway, I don't need to be telling you my problems. That's not what I'm here for. But you get up in the morning, you go to work, you come in, you rest a little, you eat, you watch television, go to sleep. The next day, it's the same thing. And you feel so empty, so useless, so wasted. You thought that if you could maybe just get your hands on a little money, that would put some zest and sparkle in your life. And it probably would for a few moments. But it wouldn't last. Did you know that the percentage of rich people who are bored with life is even greater than the percentage of poor people that are bored with life? Things is not the answer to the problems that you have. Money won't solve your problems. Getting a new mate won't solve your problems. Getting a job promotion is not the answer. Moving to another area is not going to make things straighten out and begin to fly right for you. What is the answer? What will add flavor to your life and make it enjoyable and give you a reason for living again? There are three things. These are just as simple as they can be, but I want to give them to you this morning in these minutes that we have left, and then we'll be through. These things work. They're so simple, but they work. I've tried them. I've suggested them to other people. They've tried them. It's worked for them too. It's not difficult to figure out how to please God if you just make up your mind that you're going to do it. Now, let me tell you the three things that will give some flavor, some taste to your life down here on this earth. Number one, there needs to be a purpose to your life. There needs to be a purpose to your life. One of the main reasons that folks are so bored with life and tired of living and they're bored to the point of depression is that they don't have a reason for living. There's nothing that they look forward to doing when they get up in the morning. I'm talking about for God. There's nothing they have in mind doing for the church. They don't have any spiritual purpose. And if you don't have a spiritual purpose, things are not going to go good for you. You weren't made for that. You were made to do something with your life. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you enjoy bowling? I used to enjoy it till every bone in my body began to hurt when I did it. So I hadn't bowled in a long time, but I enjoyed bowling. We had a bowling league there at Trinity, in Weatherford, we had quite a bit of fun with it. Now, why do you enjoy bowling if you do enjoy it? You say, well, it gives me some exercise. Others might say, well, I enjoy it because it gives me a chance to get together with my friends. But the real reason, those are not the real reasons why you enjoy bowling. The real reason you enjoy bowling is because there are 10 pins down there that need to be knocked down. And you're the one that's going to do it. If you don't think that's why you enjoy bowling, next time you go, have someone just take those pins and put them up somewhere, and you just bowl on that empty lane. That's not going to be any fun. It becomes fun when you have a purpose. Christianity becomes interesting. It becomes lively when you have a purpose. And I'm saying that's what's wrong with the life of so many Christians. It's like bowling with no pins. You don't know when you succeeded or when you hadn't succeeded. If you aim at something, you may miss it. But if you don't aim at anything, you'll definitely miss it. So you've got to get you a purpose in life. You've got to have something big to live for. The bigger purpose that you have, the more of a blessing that you're going to receive in your life. And I'm telling you that there is no bigger purpose this morning than the one that is given to the Christian in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. You all know the verse. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. There's no greater purpose in life than that. To be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ and to speak for Him to the people in our community that don't know Him. How much more rewarding would it be to be an ambassador than it is just to get by? Live with no purpose. How much more interesting is it, and how much more blessed is it to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? I know some Christians, I doubt that we have any of them here, but I know some Christians who run from their spiritual duties because they think if they do them, that's going to take away their enjoyment for life. That is such a big mistake to make. such a big misconception. To run away from serving God would be like running away from food because you're afraid it'll make you hungry. Or running away from water because you think you're afraid it'll make you take your drink. The happiest life I have found, I've not always been a Christian. Nobody's always been a Christian. But the happiest life that I found is the life that's lived serving the Lord Jesus. For these 50 some odd years, I have been in the ministry. And if I could go back to day one and start over again and do things different, if I could, the one thing I would do different is surrender my life to the ministry even before I did. Well, there have been a lot of heartaches, been a lot of tears. It's been difficult sometimes, disappointing. But I would not have changed my life for anything as long as I lived it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't run away from those things. Be an ambassador. You won't ever have a title any greater than that, ambassador for Christ. Then let me give you the second thing. Not only does there need to be a purpose for your life, but there needs to be a pattern for your life. Much of the counseling that I did while I was in the pastorate was with people who were trying to build a life without the pattern that God gave. And what they wound up building was a mess. You leave Christ out of your life and you're guaranteed failure. Building a life is not an easy thing to do. We've never built one before, so we're not real experienced in it. It's not the easiest thing to do. What we need in order to be happy and contented Christians, what we need is a set of plans, a pattern, something to tell us what to do, plans that have been drawn up by someone who knows what they're doing. Did you know you got that this morning? You got it right there in your lap. It's called the Holy Bible. These pages contain God's will and God's word for His people. If we would just go by them. Charlie Steinmetz was a fellow you probably don't recognize the name. He worked for a time for Henry Ford. And he was an electronic genius. He built the huge electric generators that powered the Ford plant. And sometime after he got all of that done, which made the plant a very productive plant, when he got all of that done, he left with the purpose, I think it was, of retiring. Henry Ford had some problems after he left. And the generators went down, and he couldn't find anybody to fix them. They were big. They were one of a kind. He couldn't find anybody to work on them that could fix them. He used everyone at the plant to see if they could fix it, and no one could. So he finally called in Charlie Steinmetz. Charlie came in. He spent a few minutes fooling around with some wires and connections. And in no time at all, he had the generators up and running again. Well, Mr. Ford told him to send me a bill for what you've done and we'll take care of it. Well, Mr. Steinmetz did. He sent Henry Ford a bill for $10,000. Mr. Ford thought that was a little bit too much. Remember, that was a few years ago. Mr. Ford thought that was a little bit too much, and he sent Mr. Steinmetz a letter telling him that he thought it was too high for what He did. He wasn't there very long. He didn't do very much. Mr. Steinmetz sent this reply back, and I'm reading to you what he said. Dear Henry, for spending a few moments fooling around with a few wires, I only charged you $10. But for knowing which wires to fool around with, I charged you $9,990. Well, what we've got in this book is the master builder's plan for my life and for yours. And he knows what he's doing. And he wants us to follow his plans and rely on them. You've heard me say it before, I think, probably. You'll probably hear me say it again. The do's and the don'ts that God put in the Bible were put there for our edification, for our learning, for us to be able to get everything out of this life that we can get out of it. That's why those do's and don'ts are there. We've got a little dachshund. No, not little. We were told he was going to be little. She was. And she weighs around 45 pounds right now. A dachshund. Now, she stays in our backyard, except when we take her out. And other times, we tell her to stay in the backyard. Now, are we trying to make life hard for her? No. That dachshund is a part of our family. I don't want anything happen to her that would hurt her. That's why we have some do's and don'ts. That's why if we see her chewing on an electrical cord, her nose may get spatted. But the don't is because we care for her and we want her to be taken care of. All of the do's and the don'ts that you have in this Bible were given by God to make life worthwhile for you and me. He's not our enemy. He is our friend. He is our guide. And he wants to help us through this life. And let me say this. I heard someone say one time that the only way to keep a broken vessel full is by keeping the faucet turned on. Well, we're broken vessels. Sin has broken us. But we can be kept full of love for God, devotion to God. We can be kept full if the faucet of God's Word is kept turned on in our life. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand again, but how much of the Bible did you read this week? How much of the instructions did you follow? They're there, and if we'll build our life by it, it'll make a big difference. All right, number three. Number one, needs to be a purpose in life. Number two, there needs to be a pattern for your life. And then number three, there needs to be a person in your life. And you know who that person is, don't you? He told us when he was here, without me, you can do nothing. That's true of people who are trying to build a church. Without me, you can do nothing. If you're trying to build a happy home, without me, ye can do nothing. Jesus is absolutely indispensable to our success as Christians. If he is only a storybook kind of person to you, and I know some folks that he is, if he's no more real than Jack Frost or the Easter Bunny, then you'll be an empty person. It can't be otherwise. I can't tell you any way to find joy and happiness if you shut the door on Jesus. Because I go back to what he said, without me, ye can do nothing. As a new creature in Christ, you were created for the purpose of having fellowship with him. And without that fellowship, you'll be an empty person. Your life will be like the white of an egg. It can't be otherwise. This world can't make you happy. You can't make yourself happy. But we serve one who can. We need to have more of him in our life, I think. Alan Redpath said, "The thing that has marked the failures in my ministry, has been the unwillingness to get alone, take time with God, and this has sometimes made me spiritually bankrupt," he said. I know exactly what he's talking about, and I imagine some of you folks do too. I went through a time in my life, my spiritual life, when I was very miserable. I didn't know why. I was trying to serve God, but I was very miserable. And one day in prayer, the sweet Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, not to my ear. We don't have that now. But he spoke to my heart, and he let me know that the thing that is wrong is you've gotten slack concerning your Bible study time and concerning your prayer time. I was so busy with the church, trying to help the church grow, that I left off those indispensable things in my life. You cannot be a success without them. And since then, I've been disappointed in Randy Cotton a lot. I've even, time or two, been disappointed with Joanne. But I have never been, disappointed in him. Have you got lunch ready, by the way, Joe? Because I think I just cut myself out of it again. But God will provide. Folks, Job said his life was like the white of an egg. Don't let your life get in that same shape. Thank you for such sweet listening. Thank you. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father, I sure thank you for letting me stand here and have the opportunity to go over the Word of God with these people. Thank you for this privilege.